Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. Go to www.allthebestpetcare.com and see where all of their 9 locations are around the Puget Sound area. Allthebestpetcare.com, all the best food, treats, and toys for your pet. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to see about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. We, as always, have a great show today. First, I'd like to say hi to Eric Ryder, our booth engineer and program coordinator here at KKNW. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Yeah, it's a great day here in the Puget Sound area, so...
Great day to do something in particular I can think of.
As I like to say every week here on the Dog Talk Show, it's a great day to take your dog for a walk.
It is.
And you don't even need a poncho today.
No, you don't. Well, it is a great day to take your dog for a walk and even take them somewhere new because they love the new scents and sights, especially the new scent. Which is what we are talking about today.
And people like to go new places too, so, you know.
Well, they do.
Freshen up your own point of view.
And sometimes for the new scent, especially in spring, depending on where you're going.
Yes.
Well, we, in the second segment, we're going to be talking with Trace Sargent, who is the founder of Canine SARS, which stands for Search and Rescue Specialists.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to be talking about search and rescue
dogs. I
thought
it was the disease SARS there for a second.
No.
I was worried. I thought we beat that thing.
Nope. Search and rescue specialists. We're actually going to be talking about search and rescue dogs and cadaver dogs. Last week I mentioned the cadaver dogs that were in the news with the Casey Anthony trial, which is big in the media, at least it was last week and probably the week before. It's a murder trial, I guess, for a toddler, which is very sad. But there was a cadaver dog involved, and then there was some question as to whether what the dog indicated was accurate or not. So anyway, we're going to be talking with an expert on this topic and about search and rescue in general and the training. Very interesting. Before we bring Trace Sargent on the show, though, I have a couple of announcements. Some exciting announcements.
All right.
Well, they're all fairly exciting, I guess.
Should I be loading the drum roll for this?
One in particular. Yeah, the drum roll. Not yet, though.
Okay, you give me the nod.
Okay. So first, we have some events coming up. All of them, I think, are wonderful. I'm going to be at a booth with Invisible Fence Northwest at the Capitol Hill Pride Festival in Seattle on June 25th,
Saturday. Now, if you leave the booth, do you get a little zap?
No.
Oh, okay.
They haven't trained me to the boundary.
Oh, good.
That's funny, though. They have a big dog booth. They're going to have some products for sale. We're going to be raising money for the Pet Project, which is part of the Seattle Humane Society, raises money to support people who are HIV positive or who have AIDS to help support them to continue to live with their pets, pay for food, maybe come and help exercise them or pay for vet bills, stuff like that. And I'm going to be at the booth offering free training advice. So if you are in the Capitol Hill, Seattle area and you want to come down, it's a big festival. Tens of thousands of people are expected to show up. It's an all-day thing from 10 until sometime at night. 10 a.m. until maybe 11 p.m. or something. I'll be there probably for the first half of the day. Capitol Hill Pride Festival. Look for the Invisible Fence Northwest booth there, and I'll be there with them. And during that also at noon is a doggy drag costume contest that I'll be judging, which I'm very excited about as well. The
doggy drag
costume contest.
Contest.
That's right.
All right.
It's a Pride Festival. You know, the dogs get dressed up.
Oh, what a drag, dude.
Good one. So Go Dog Go is a annual doggy canine festival and dog walk in Kirkland. And it this year is July 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they have a lot of really like active type demonstrations, disc dogs, fly ball, agility course, freestyle dancers, and other sort of entertainment and face painting and stuff like that for kids. And it's called Go Dog Go. And it's at the Juanita Beach Park in Kirkland. And you can go to the Kirkland government website, kirklandwa.gov/GDG for Go Dog Go. I'll post that link on the Dog Talk Show website as well. But that's a really fun, active event. And those guys are really fun to watch, the disc dogs and the agility competition and fly ball. Very exciting. The All the Best Pet Care, their Redmond store, has been moved just a few doors down and expanded. So check out their new re-grand opening, the Redmond location. They've got a big new store just down, a few doors down from their prior location, right in the Whole Foods Plaza in Redmond. Check them out as well. Wanted to just send a shout out to one of our show sponsors that's been with us since the very beginning, which has been over 2 years now. And all of our show, all of the Dog Talk Show advertisers and sponsors are businesses, products, companies that I would personally recommend and personally use. You know, Natural Pet Pantry raw food. I actually feed this to my own pets. Invisible Fence Northwest, I think that they're the best in the industry for what they offer. Same with All the Best Pet Care. Chemley Electric is a full-service electrical contractor working in the greater Seattle area. Very dog-friendly company, which is always a good sign as far as I'm concerned. Chemley Electric, K-E-M-L-Y, electric.com is the website. And if you have any electrical needs, rewiring, whether it be for commercial or residential use, please give them a call because they're wonderful. They're very very skilled at what they do, and they're great people. That's Chemley Electric. So we have a newer thing that we're doing here on the Dog Talk Show, which is listener mail. And rather than asking people to call in on the spot, I'm inviting people to write in.
Some people listen to the show when it's not live, you know?
So a lot of people do, yeah.
Running around Green Lake with their dog listening.
So. Yeah, because we're available on iTunes as a free podcast, mm-hmm. and we're archived on the website as well. Or a lot of times people are driving when they're listening and can't call in. So listener mail, email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. If you have a question about really anything dog-related, it could be health-related, food-related, training or behavior-related. Maybe it's a quirky behavior that you've always wondered about. Really anything dog-related. And if I don't know the answer, I know someone who does. And I got a great, great email from a listener about their 5-year-old Cocker Spaniel had surgery for struvite bladder stones. She was put on a prescription diet and has done fine, but the listener writes, "I'm wondering what your thoughts are about switching to a homemade diet. I believe a natural diet is best for most of us, humans included, but what about medical conditions? Is it risky at all to change her diet from something that's been working?" Well, and that's something where if a dog has a medical condition, I'm not a vet, so I'm going to kind of bounce that off of a vet. And so I did. And so, Eric, get your drum roll ready. So I'm going to have one of my favorite guests back on the show in a few weeks to answer that question. Drum roll. Dr. Michael Fox.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to have Foxy back.
Love Dr. Fox. He's been on the show a few times. He's a co-author of the book Not Fit for a Dog, The Truth About Manufactured Dog and Cat Food. That was my first interview with him way back November 4th of 2009. And you can find that interview on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com, or you can go to iTunes and download it from iTunes and listen that way as well. But in that show, we talk about the relationship between the prescription diets and vet schools and kind of that whole phenomenon of prescription diets and that what, you know, one, they're not the best thing for pets. I mean, they still use low quality ingredients. They still use byproducts. They still use corn. And so they're using these low quality ingredients, formulating them in a way that helps, you know, mask the symptom of any type of medical condition. They have a whole bunch of different diets, but they're still made out of ingredients that are fundamentally unhealthy. So, okay, well, then what's the alternative? And so for something like this, where there's a specific medical question, this listener wrote in about bladder stones, well, what is the alternative to the urinary prescription diet? Well, Dr. Fox is going to come on the show and answer that question for us.
That's great.
Love talking to him on the air. He is very entertaining and very knowledgeable. And he's got a new book out, too, which we'll be talking about as well. So we've got a lot of great guests actually coming up. Susan Thixton is going to be back on the show. She's the author of a new book called Buyer Beware, about the pet food industry, not about prescription diets, but about this the industry at large. And she's also the founder of truthaboutpetfood.com, which is a great website. We had her on the show a while back, and she had listeners call in and read their ingredient list on their bag of food, and she kind of decoded it. So lots of great guests coming up. I'm really looking forward to that. Well, when we come back from break, we'll be talking with Trace Sargent, who's the founder of Canine SARS, which is an acronym for Search and Rescue Specialists. And we'll be talking about search and rescue dogs.
If your name is Trace, I guess you have to go into search and rescue, right?
Yes, a good point. So, and cadaver dogs as well. And then we'll also be getting her comments on the cadaver dogs that were used in the trial for the Casey Anthony trial that's been in the news recently. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. An extra mile, or an extra bark, or an extra smile. 'Cause I never felt so free. It was just my dog and me. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, we'll celebrate Father's Day with two of our most popular guests. Adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer will join us in the studio. They've recently returned from living with native tribes in Africa, and Helen will share all the details of the latest adventure with us, plus a D-Willa and all the animals in the Fire Zone of Arizona update. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Cut through the clutter with the latest up-to-date information on happenings in the world of real estate, mortgage, and personal finance. Tune in Wednesdays at 3 p.m. for Brashonomics, an upbeat, interesting, and informative hour you don't want to miss. Hosted by Ben Brashon, you'll be entertained and informed as Ben and his guests of industry professionals share ideas and strategies you can use every day in your own life. You won't want to miss this show. Brashonomics has the information you need to stay in the know. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll be glad you did.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
Now she's running up ahead to chase some deer. Comes back to tell me that the coast is clear. It's a different world I see when it's just my dog and me.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Eric, that's probably one of my favorite ones.
All right.
That's a new one.
John Hyatt, My Dog and Me.
Wow. What a nice song. Well, we are back with Trace Sargent, who is the founder of Canine SARS, which stands for Search and Rescue Specialists. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, Trace.
Well, thank you, Julie. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, I was pursuing this cadaver dog thing because I heard about them talking about these cadaver dogs that were used in the Casey Anthony trials that have been all over the news and media for the past, I don't know, couple weeks that I've been aware of it, but I think it's been around for a while. And I saw this little clip. I just kind of happened upon it where there was this, I think it was a police officer. It was being questioned in the trial, you know, in court, and the guy was kind of interrogating him, and because his dog had signaled that he'd picked up the scent of human remains kind of in the crime scene area. And the guy was like, well, you know, dogs aren't perfect, and dogs, would you say that dogs are not 100% on this? And he was like, well, no, they're not 100%. And I got all fired up about that because I was like, dogs are the best at smelling, you know. Anyway, so I reached out and asked about cadaver dogs and then got connected with you, clearly an expert in the area. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about Canine SARS.
Yes, Julie. I've been so fortunate over the years. I've been involved in primarily search and rescue, but also law enforcement because I am a police officer, but heavily involved in the search and rescue arena as a volunteer. Been doing this for about 18 years, and again, been very fortunate over the years to have people help me along the way. And we've been involved in a lot of very interesting searches, requested in probably over 800 searches over the years. Many of these criminal, very similar to the Casey Anthony case. Others, missing persons, such as a child or a hunter or Alzheimer's. And then most recently, the tornadoes that have devastated the southeast United States over these past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So cadaver dogs are an amazing, amazing dogs, and certainly all dogs, and what their capabilities are. And how Canine SARS came to be really was just a dream that I had and wanting to do something different with my dog that happened to be a German Shepherd, a little puppy, cute fuzzy puppy, and I just knew I wanted to do something special with him.
Mm-hmm.
And as fate would have it, I came across an article, which I still have today, of a woman that had a German Shepherd that found a missing three-year-old boy in the Reader's Digest magazine.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, if she can do it, why can't I? And that's really where that seed was planted and has grown into this incredible adventure over the years, and never thought I would be speaking with folks like you and speaking to your listeners on this great talk show that you have, and certainly want to pass along any information and knowledge and skills that along the years to pass along to whomever would be interested in knowing about all this, because it is very interesting, and I'm still, to this day, amazed by the magic that I see happen every time these dogs work.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, working with dogs professionally, and I do pet dog, you know, training behavior and nutrition, and I'm just amazed. I've been doing this for about 9 years now, full time, and I keep learning. I mean, it's such a great field because the dogs are just continuing to teach me about what I do and about myself. You know, when it comes in working with dogs, I'm just constantly evolving and how I'm working with dogs. Dogs are so different from each other. So getting to know each dog as an individual is just such a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I see all the time is this amazing ability these dogs have for forgiveness, for love, for compassion, and they're really an open book. And no matter whether you have this wonderful companion in your home or these highly trained dogs, a dog is a dog is a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they give so much and ask for so little in return.
Mm-hmm.
And from a working dog standpoint, all we really do is just manipulate and exploit these incredible natural abilities that they have. So we really can't take that much credit for them.
Right.
And it really ends up being just the chauffeur and the cook and the maid and the housekeeper and the hairdresser and all of those great things that are involved in having these dogs. But they really are the stars of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially with something like search and rescue work or nose work. I had a guest on 6-ish weeks ago. Miriam Rose is a local woman, certified detection trainer, scent detection trainer, and she teaches nose work classes for anybody and their dog, because all dogs have, you know, their magnificent noses in common, and they love to use them. And, you know, finding what motivates each dog as an individual, but they just love to search for something that they want. It's such a fundamental drive that they have. And so many pet dogs don't have the outlet for that. So.
Yes. And as you mentioned earlier, Julie, every dog has a very distinct and different personality, just like people do.
Mm-hmm.
Different things motivate different people. And when we're talking about, let's say, your average family companion dog that's in someone's home versus these working dogs that people may see on TV or in movies, probably the best way to describe them and determining what dog, you know, would be best suited for certain jobs or certain lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask all the time, what's the perfect dog for this or that? And I say, well, the perfect dog is the perfect dog that fits you and your lifestyle and your personality,
mm-hmm.
not your friends or your sisters or mothers or brothers or a coworker, but really what is best fits you and your lifestyle. And when you're looking at family pets versus working dogs, the best rule of thumb that I can give anyone is a good family dog does not make a good working dog, and a good
right.
working dog does not make a good family dog.
Yeah.
So oftentimes when you hear these stories about, gosh, my dog's driving me crazy, he's chewing everything up, he's running around the yard all the time, and
mm-hmm.
and he's just go, go, go. And that's usually, you know, indicators of a working dog that needs a job that doesn't have one.
Yep.
And oftentimes it's so unfortunate that these dogs many times are ended up in shelters or other situations, not because they were bad dogs. They just didn't have an outlet for what we call that drive.
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate. But that's what happens oftentimes. And the same thing with a dog that, let's say somebody wants to get involved in search and rescue. Let's say one of your listeners is like, you know, I've been hearing about this and these cadaver dogs. And, you know, what do I need to do, or how do I get started in that? Well, it's the same thing. if you're wanting to get a working dog, there are certain things you want to look for, and just like a family dog, certain things you want to look for.
Yeah.
One of the things that we look for a working dog, there are very specific breeds that historically have been very successful at a job. And not to say that there aren't other breeds, but as the old saying goes, if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we know just through experience that breeds, and generally what we call the working line breeds, most often people are familiar with your Labrador Retrievers, and those could be any variation of color, the yellow, black, or chocolate. Your Golden Retriever, your Flat-Coated Retrievers, those type of retrievers do a really, really great job in a working, in having a job.
Mm-hmm.
Your German Shepherds, Border Collies, your Belgian Malinois,
mm-hmm.
Your Australian Shepherds, even your Beagles in certain situations.
Mm.
So those particular breeds do very, very well for the type of work that we need them to do.
And now, again, when you talk about like using labs and goldens, especially, do they have to be high drive dogs necessarily?
Yes, yes. And okay. That's the difference between, you know, there's a number of differences between family and working dogs, but the drive is really at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about drive, trying to think of the correlation of someone that has a passion for something, whether it's golfing or fishing or drawing or musical talent, that drive, that passion that they don't feel like they've really lived a full day or, you know, a productive week if they haven't had that outlet of that passion that they have. They can't really describe it, but it's there.
It's like what they were made to do.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Well, these dogs that what we call that drive, we can't take credit for it. It's really Mother Nature's wonderful way of giving these dogs natural abilities to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back many, many years, and that drive to go hunt something down. Well, instead of, let's say, a four-legged rabbit or deer or something like that, we are channeling that drive to hunt something down to benefit us,
mm-hmm.
whether it is a person or, in this case, detection work. And how we tie that in, because people are like, well, wait a minute, cadaver? Those are dead people. How do dogs find dead people? Because they're not running away.
Yep. So hold that thought.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, and I want to get more into exactly what you're about to talk about. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, and we're talking with Trace Sargent, founder of Canine SARS. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Now, Red, he's the damnedest dog that I've ever seen. Got a nose that can smell a two-day trail. He's a four-legged tracking machine.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Fido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You can consider yourself mighty lucky to get past the gators and the quicksand beds. But all these years that I've been here, ain't nobody got past red.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are talking with Trace Sargent, who's the founder of Canine SARS, Search and Rescue Specialists. Welcome back, Trace.
Glad to be back here.
Now, you are in Georgia, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
We sure are. Originally from the South and been here in Georgia about 12 and a half years.
All right, excellent. I'm from the East Coast, but I'm from north of you. I'm from New England, so.
Okay. Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah, you're getting some humidity weather out there right now. Thunder and lightning, I hear.
Yes, ma'am. We just have, unfortunately, another storm coming through. We do need the rain, but I apologize if there's some static over the phone.
No problem.
It's pretty bad right now.
Yeah. Well, I hope the dogs aren't freaked out by that, because I know dogs do not like thunder. Some dogs, anyway.
The dogs, they have a pretty good life, and they're used to this kind of weather.
Good.
So. That's one
good.
Of the things we do look for in our working dogs is to make sure that they're comfortable in a lot of different environments.
Yeah. Well, now we were talking about, you know, in your work with canine search and rescue, and you work both with dogs that find survivors and also dogs that are trained to find human remains, which are called cadaver dogs.
That's correct. Certainly the big difference is live persons, and they could be hurt or injured, but they are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that could also include, in the law enforcement side, what we call fugitives, bad guys that run away.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly other folks such as hunters, hikers, missing children. And what we're getting a lot of calls on are Alzheimer's, because the population within that age group is just exploding.
Mm.
And so we get a lot of calls for missing Alzheimer's.
Now, if a dog is going out to find a person who is assumed to be still alive, does the dog have to basically get a whiff of that person as an individual?
Well, that's a great question, and we do get that question quite often. What's really unique is that we have dogs that are trained to find people, what we call whiff, and without a scent article.
Okay.
Meaning, for example, if they saw little Johnny walk out the back door and then all of a sudden he disappeared, we can start the dog in the backyard and pick up what we call Johnny's scent.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need a scent article from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the parents, you know, went inside to go answer the phone and little Johnny was playing outside, and when they come back and he's gone, they don't know which direction he went into.
Mm-hmm.
That is when we can go into the home, find a scent article, and this is important to know that we want to make sure the scent article is not contaminated with someone else's scent.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure it's just Johnny's scent. And when we present this article to the dogs, they understand, oh, that's the person that I need to go search mm-hmm. for and the scent that I need to follow in order to, quote, get my toy.
Yep. Now, and, would it be like a shoe or a pillow or something like that?
Well, most of the time what we try to do is, and one of the best ways to do is to go to the person's bedroom.
Yeah.
And if they don't sleep with, you know, anybody in the bed with them, their pillowcases are very good.
Yeah.
Scent article. Mm-hmm. And then we look at clothes that they have been wearing the day before or earlier in the day.
Yeah.
We try to get clothing that they have been wearing or recently worn, clothes that haven't been washed or put in the clothespin or basket with other people's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So clothes that are like lying on the floor, things like that.
Yep. So if it's a cadaver dog, then is it a certain chemical reaction that they're basically searching for that's of like decomposition?
Yeah. I got to tell you, Julie, about just a real quick situation that kind of had an aha moment for me.
Sure.
In searching for live people and dead people.
Mm-hmm.
We had been searching for some live folks and found them. And then, coincidentally, we had to go on two cadaver calls back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
One on one day and then another on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one was in this incredible, huge home, had burnt down, and actually it was the grandfather that was missing. Very, very nice gated community. And anyway, we searched, and he was found.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next day, we were called to look for this individual that had a pretty tough life in a very small home, single-wide trailer,
mm-hmm.
not very good living conditions, so on and so forth, and the dogs found him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a ha-ha moment in that, wow, what dogs tell us is that when we are alive, we smell totally different and unique to them, each and every person in the entire world, even twins.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs can distinguish between each and every individual. But when we are dead, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white, young or old, the dogs find all of us.
Interesting.
And that the best way to describe it from a dog's perspective and using their nose and looking for cadavers, death is life's perfect equalizer. So when we are alive, we smell all different, but when we're dead, we all smell exactly the same to the dog.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So
now, when a dog is looking for somebody who's deceased,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving off that smell that's, you know, crosses class and culture and race, that's,
yeah.
You know, the smell of decomposing flesh, I guess. Now, is that, like, emotionally traumatizing for the dogs at all, or... is it just them kind of picking up the scent?
Yes, and when we talk about the scent, when we talk about cadaver, it's important to note that most people understand that these dogs are called cadaver dogs. But the terminology, and when we talk about different terminology in these working dogs, is cadaver dogs are actually more accurately described as human remains detection dogs, or HRD. Because that's, in fact, what they're doing is detecting human remains, whereas cadaver is a full-size body, so to speak.
Okay.
Whereas these dogs are actually trained to find a decomposing remains, human remains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one size fits all. Our body decomposes in different stages.
Mm.
So, for example, when somebody dies, they are a full-size person, and they are their flesh, their body is decomposing, going to the next stage, and there's five different stages.
Hmm.
And the last stage being skeletal remains.
Okay.
Excuse me. So we have to train these dogs to actually find human remains in the different phases of decomposition. So they're not only looking for full-size bodies or deceased persons.
Yeah.
It could also mean somebody, let's say in this terrible storm, that they have body parts.
Right.
And you know, caught up in trees or debris or different places, that the dogs are going to find that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then even something, a cold case that somebody's been dead for years, dogs will also locate the bones too.
Wow.
So it is very interesting. They can find all those different types of what we again call, quote, human remains.
Yeah.
When they go out there and search, what's cool about this, Julie, whether it's a cadaver dog, drug dog, bomb dog, they don't even know what they're searching for. They don't realize that they're searching for a bomb or a dead person or drugs. What they're really, truly, in fact, looking for is that toy. And that's where we exploit and manipulate Mother Nature to its highest form to benefit us in so many ways. And how we do that is that we get a toy and we send it up to whatever scent we want them to find for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we throw and play with them. They don't even realize that they're being, quote, trained mm-hmm. or conditioned and in terminology imprinted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they quickly, through a process of training, quickly learn that, oh, wow, when I find that scent, I get my toy.
Okay.
So to answer your question, do the dogs feel emotionally fatigued or drained or saddened by finding dead people? Well, with all due respect in finding and searching for deceased persons, from the dog's perspective, it is the greatest, most fun hide-and-go-seek game or Easter egg hunt that you can imagine for a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It is nothing but one great, fun game for them. The
emotional part
is really the
human part.
Side of things.
Yeah.
Because
they basically are just associating, ooh, I find this and mm-hmm. I get my toy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they love, you know, which kind of goes back to like the nose work classes that people can do here locally with their dog, which isn't search and rescue, but it's teaching dogs how to detect scent, is that they love, it's like a game. It's like, oh, fun. I get to use my nose to find something that I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right on target. And it goes back to what we discussed earlier with the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this drive, and it is so important. And that drive, and we talk about instead of hunting for that rabbit or deer, what that drive we're doing, and in the cadaver situation and bombs or drugs, when we call detection work,
yep.
instead of them running, you know, and chasing down that rabbit or deer, they're chasing down that toy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're search, and using that nose, when they find that scent, we throw that toy toward them, and they think, oh, my gosh, this is the greatest game ever.
Yeah.
They just love it. And
yep.
people ask all the time, well, how do you make your dogs do that? Gosh, Julie, we don't.
You don't make them. You can't make them, really.
No. It's that drive, you know, that passion that we talked about. You know, people have this passion to do things.
Yep.
These dogs have that passion to do what they're doing. And doggone it, lucky for us, they do, and they make it look so easy.
Yeah.
And it benefits us in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk more with Trace Sargent, who's the founder of Canine SARS, which stands for Search and Rescue Specialists. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Valley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com. Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Well, I had an old dog and his name was Blue. Yes, I had an old dog and his name was Blue.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back talking with Trace Sargent, who's the founder of Canine SARS, Search and Rescue Specialists. Welcome back, Trace.
Thank you, Julie.
So I have a question for you about the Casey Anthony trial and the cadaver dog that was in question actually during the trial, which is kind of what sparked my interest about this in the first place, or awareness anyway, is that there was I saw a part in the trial where they were questioning the, I think it was a law enforcement officer who was handling the dog, and that the dog, I think it, two dogs actually signaled in, I think it was the, was it the parents' yard or something like that, signaled that there was the scent of human remains, and this is a murder trial. So, and the guy was kind of an cross-examining, or I don't know what the, you know, correct terminology is, but he was basically saying, well, you know, your dog maybe alerted that there was, you know, the scent of human remains, but, you know, would you say that dogs are not 100% accurate on that? And of course, I got all offended. Like, you try to find something that's better at detecting scent than a dog. So anyway, I wanted to ask you, as the expert in this field, what is the likelihood, or how do you know, how accurate is this? Was it a false alert, or, like, you know, what is the likelihood that it was an accurate alert?
Well, we have several things going on here. One, the dog's ability to smell things is phenomenal. So they can, in fact, detect scent even when that object is gone. So in this case, for the Anthony case, is if there was, in fact, a body placed there on the ground in the backyard of the parents' home and in the trunk of the car, it's what we call residual scent.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to describe it is that, let's say, somebody baked a cake in their oven, and even though after the cake is taken out of the oven and even consumed, you can still smell that cake that had been baking in the oven.
Mm.
So that's that residual scent that is still on the air. So it's the same correlation with these cadaver dogs. So I would say that dogs are extremely accurate. And these particular dogs, and any detection dog, you look at the dog's training records, their certifications, the handler's training, and the two of the dogs, and we talk about dog team, and it's one dog and one handler. So we want to look at both of those dog handlers and their dog and their partners and the consistency of what they have done in the past for their training and other searches. So,
yep.
For example, if a dog is heavily experienced, has found numerous bodies or remains in the past, his certifications have always been very good, and he's passed all those. So that credibility of the team is extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, are they 100% right? Yes and no. Some days, it's just like somebody that's having a great golf game or tennis game.
Mm.
They could be 100% right one day. The next day, they may be off their game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dogs are no different.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, the courts, I think it's important to note, the courts don't require a dog to be 100% accurate in order for the attorneys to use that evidence or use that information of what the dog did on a search.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have two dogs and two handlers alerting in the exact same place, and that these dogs are experienced and certified, and the handlers are too, very, very high credibility there.
Yep.
So I think but also note that it's the dogs themselves are certainly a big part of this case, but they're only a part.
Mm-hmm.
In any situation.
Sure.
So you have all of these other factors involved.
Mm-hmm.
And all this other different evidence. The dog is only a small part of that whole puzzle.
Right.
and a piece of it.
Yep.
Now, when we look at criminal cases and other situations, and you look at all the tools out there, I got to say, from not only a personal perspective, but also a professional perspective, and seeing these dogs and what their capabilities are firsthand, you really cannot get any better resource out there if you want to use the tool to find some type of scent. Dogs are absolutely the best tool to use for that.
Right. Now, you have a story from one of your searches that I'd love for you to share. We've got about 3 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. There's a couple of stories. One's live, one's dead. We'll talk about the live one first. It was a missing three-year-old boy, and the interesting side of this, I was actually in a movie with Dean Cain, and we were making a movie, and it was a real-world live story about a missing two-and-a-half-year-old that went missing several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted me to play myself in this movie. Well, during the week of the movie making, I was called out on a real search. Three-year-old boy had been missing for 8 hours. They had no idea where he went.
Mm.
Situation, mom went in to answer the phone. She came out. He was gone.
Mm.
They had been searching for him all day. They called us. It was almost close to freezing.
Mm.
So Cinco, my black search and rescue, black shepherd, a search and rescue dog, went out, searched in one area, didn't find anything, kept searching, and I had a police officer with me, and I thought, you know, I think we're too far from the house. I don't think he would go that far. Well, right when I said that, I was about to turn Cinco around and head back toward the house. He takes off.
Mm.
Well, it was one of those nights where you could not see the hand in front of your face. It was very, very dark. So I called him back, and I told the officer, I said, I'm going to give him, you know, the search command again and see what he does. And if he goes running off, we're going to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
So he does that. So we go running after him, and he's a black shepherd. So you can imagine how fun that was to try to keep
right.
up with him.
Yeah.
We went up this steep hill, and all of a sudden he stopped. And I'm shining my light on him, and he's looking up at me. And I'm like, why are you standing there? And just maybe a foot to the right of him, I see this movement, and I shine my light, and this little boy raises his head and looks up at me.
Oh, my gosh.
He had buried himself with leaves and limbs
Aww.
Trying to get warm. and he had dark skin and dark hair, and he had taken his little pants off to try to make a pillow, and all he had was a shirt on. So when I picked him up, he was ice cold.
Mm.
So I had the police officer sit down, put him in his lap. I got my backpack out. We put as much clothes, you know, as we could on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the police officer at the command post to tell him we had found him.
Mm.
And he was in front of the family when I told him that. And he told the family, the dog team found him. He's alive. He's okay. And all of a sudden, you could hear all these screams.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Cries. So I'll never forget, as we're walking through these woods, this little boy just wrapped up in all these little clothes. And this police officer in this dark blue uniform looked behind me. Cinco's in front of me. And the officer with the little boy, he's carrying him. And I'll never forget just the look of that whole image.
Yeah.
And
wow.
then 2 days later, I get on the movie set, and I told the director, you're not going to believe the coincidence of all of this. And I told him what happened. And as I was standing in the waiting area for my part to come up, Dean Cain comes up to me, the actor.
Yeah.
And he said, I just heard what happened.
Yeah.
And he hugged me and congratulated me.
Wow. Well, we are out of time. There's so much to talk about. Thank you so much for being on the show. Trace's website is caninesars.org, and there's a link to it on the Dog Talk Show website. Trace, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Julie, for asking us, and it's been a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.